Okay, take two, since our recording system decided to take a dump on us. This is HVK, and that's V. What's going on, man?
Here, part two.
Part two, yeah, right? Because midway through. So anyway, this is going to be a review to start off this week. I specifically will be reviewing Volume 5 of Common America. And, I wanted to do this review not by myself, but with V here, because V's been the inspiration of a lot of the stuff that I kind of realized what the success of this book, I think, has been, and why I think you should read it. So I'll just start there by saying it is a very good book. Anyone who's listened to any of my other reviews for any of the other previous Common America volumes, or Black Ops volumes for that matter, because Mark Pellegrini and Timothy Lim, they really just kind of knock it out of the park with just about everything that they do. So in terms of story, I mean, the story is well done, like stuff I've said a million times before, so I won't waste a whole lot of time on it because at a certain point I'd just be repeating myself. This is the beginning of the second arc for the Common Core, right? So the first arc was like the whole team kind of coming together, and now this is the official start of the second arc. You already have some friction that's going on. Carly is having some, and I won't kind of spoil some of the big moral decisions that she's kind of having to navigate through throughout the volume, but in particular interest, you now have this, what I'm just going to call like this Leonardo Raphael style.
Yeah, Mikey was peaceful.
Yeah. Friction between Carly and Misha over a man, let's just put it that way, which mm-hmm. actually... There's a particular panel, which is probably my favorite in the entire volume, which will lead me into talking about the artwork, I guess. But what can I say about that I haven't said before? Misha, here, let me actually just bring it up. Misha gets picked up for a date, right? So she's going out with, I'm trying to find it at the same time. Very disorganized because, I guess I'm very disorganized. But, goodness, here we go.
We're getting hit with it tonight.
I'm also not feeling well, so my brain's a little fogged. So she's getting picked up by Siggy for a date. And she comes out wearing this little red dress number. I wanted to make sure I was framing it correctly. And it's my favorite panel on there because Misha being Misha, if you've ever read any of the other books, she's got a pistol strapped to her thigh as she's going out on a date with this guy. Now, what's great about this is the fact that she's packing a pistol, because what better protection could you possibly have? But this is a woman who throws fire. Like, she flies through the air and literally shoots fireball and whatnot, and she's still packing a pistol, because you never know. And it's just, that makes it just my absolute favorite scene, favorite panel out of the entire book.
Also, the you sold me with a character with fire powers. Those are my favorite characters.
Yeah, Misha's great. She's I showed you the one panel where she first starts working with Carly. And, you know, Carly does her little, like, you know, to prove the justice, we will vanquish you or whatever. And Misha's just straight up like, I'm going to murder you. It's I'm sorry. No one can convince me otherwise. Look, I get it. She's a little rough around the edges. She's the best girl in the book. Nobody can, or I'm sick in the head, one or the other, but hey, she's the best one in the book, and nobody can convince me otherwise. So there's a lot of great moments that they have in there. The new villains, the Zeni Rangers, the spoof on the Power Rangers, and the Power Rangers were obviously inspired by Kamen Rider, and then you have Kamen America. It's all a big parody. They, you know, these guys started this book as a parody of Carol Danvers, you know, Carly Vanders, Carol Danvers, and really kind of, I would say, Marvel and DC's spoofing on Marvel and DC's direction with female characters as a whole. And it's really morphed into its own monster that is better than those, right? And the irony is that Carly is actually closer to what Carol Danvers personality and behavior was like back when she was Miss Marvel, before Marvel decided to rebrand her as Captain Marvel and completely alter her personality. Carly is now a better representation of that. So if you missed the Ms. Marvel days, this is also probably a good book for you to read. But so you have those good story elements there. The Xena Rangers are, I find them funny as villains. The whole thing where you have like these agencies for like heroes and villains to an extent is quite humorous, especially because of how people get slighted in business and whatnot. I won't go into too many of the details because I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but it's definitely there. It hits all the usual emotional moments that these guys have become really good at, just kind of hitting you. Like right as you're laughing at something, the next panel hits you with something, you know, serious or heavy or emotional. Very good at that. The artwork, you know, the anime or manga and style artwork, inspired artwork is, if that's your kind of thing, like if you're into more of the Japanese stuff and you're not really sure about American comics, this might be a good one to start out with because you'd be very used to that sort of art style. It's very heavily inspired by that.
It's a very nice, from the screenshot you sent me, it's a really nice blend of the two.
Like yes,
you get a little bit of the manga inspired stuff, but you can definitely see heavy American influences in the art as well. So I really can't wait to read it. I really want to see it.
Yeah, I want to make sure I loan it to you so you can get a feel for it, because I think you're more familiar with a lot of the Japanese stuff than I am, and you are grew up heavily invested in the American stuff the same way I did. So I think you would probably get a lot out of these books because they're funny, they're enjoyable, and it brings to mind a couple of key words. And this is what the review is really going to focus on. It's heroic. It's fun. It's authentic. And they give you the fan service that, let's be honest, dudes used to read comics for. So when I say heroic, right, like we have, I always go back these days to X-Men Green because it's the most egregious example, where you have a superhero that travels over, you know, some notable distance from California to Nevada to stab a convenience store clerk in the neck with a pair of scissors because a sea turtle choked on a plastic bag. That's heroism to Marvel in 2021 when that book was published. as opposed to the people that are simultaneously supposed to inspire, that are supposed to have a very distinct set of principles and values that they operate on, and that are supposed to do the right thing in the difficult situations. You know, like there's a real sense of heroism with these books. As much as they are parodies and they are about fun, there's a sense of heroism there. But that fun is there. Like, I remember reading, like, I actually just went back not too long ago and reread The Long Halloween and Nightfall. These are very serious, very dark Batman stories in a lot of ways, but there's an element of fun to it that you could tell the writers were having, Jeff Loeb and Chuck Dixon, respectively, when they were writing them. Like, there's definitely an element of enjoyment. And whenever I read something in probably the last 8 years from Marvel and maybe the last 5 or 6 from DC, it almost feels like the writers are doing things to characters to spite the fan base. This isn't there. You don't get any of the vitriol from the writer. They're not condescending to the reader. They're not preaching to the reader. They're just having fun writing superheroes, you know? And then it brings me to authentic. And this is why I wanted you here for this, V. Is right. I keep going back to that word because you brought it up, and I think it was our very first episode together that you said that, you know, people are looking for something authentic. That's what these guys do. This is a labor of love, for lack of a better term for it. They are not doing this really. I mean, obviously they're doing it because you can only do it because you're making money off of it. Like, you have to sustain yourself somehow, right?
Yeah, that's eventually the goal.
But like, yeah, obviously these guys want to make money, but they're also like, all their books get launched on crowdfunding sites, right? Indiegogo, Kickstarter, whatever it is. For the newest volume that's not out yet, and it's why I waited to do this review until the launch of the Common America Soulfinder crossover. When I got the notification for that on Wednesday and I logged in to see it, it was in less than a minute that it took that page to load. And by the time I had already gotten there, their goal of, I think it was like $15,000 or something like that to crowdfund, was already met. And I thought I was seeing things. So I reloaded the page, and it was even more met in that amount of time. And that tells me that this is very, what I will, I dare say, Spider-Man-esque in that way, where there is something about this title in particular that is speaking to people. And the only way it speaks to people is because it's authentic and real coming from the team behind it. That they're not gaslighting people. They're not just trying to preach to people. They are doing it because they genuinely enjoy it, and they genuinely want to produce something that people will like.
Yeah, and like, go ahead. So it's always easy to see too when someone's like genuine about it too, because you think back to when Spider-Man originally, like when you originally start seeing these new Spider-Man comics come out, I want to say in like early 80s, close to the 90s, and you could tell Stan and Kirby, they enjoyed writing him. There were the jokes, the quibs, but there were still the serious storylines and the problems that Peter faced, and it was all there. And that kind of authenticity is what draws people, and you can see it clear as day, because it has nothing to do with trying to send a message. It's you have a story to tell. And that's why I'm really excited about this too, because I really want to read it, because I've heard the indie scene is where it's been at for comics and stuff right now, and especially the style you're describing is something that I'm kind of like, if I could draw, I would want to do something like that, but I really can't draw. Like, it's really bad. So that's why I wrote a book. So I really want to see, like, how, like, I want to pick this up. I mean,
yeah, it's, you know, like, you make the Lee and Kirby comparison, although in the 80s, I think Todd McFarlane was primarily writing it. But even then, he was writing something that he was a fan of the character, and he was writing the character true to form, right? Like, there was a genuineness to even people that, you know, Marvel and DC passing characters on to other writers. There was still a genuineness there for the longest time when you have certain writers that want to grow a character, not completely reinvent a character.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I was like, I think that the thing that makes it authentic, that makes you able to feel that it's real, is when they care. Like you care about that character. You care about that character's story. You want to get it right because this is something you were passionate about. Like, it's different. And I think you said it to me the other week. Like, you got a bunch of people trying to write this stuff, and they're writing like activists because they don't care about the story. They care about the message. Well,
These guys I've spoken to, you know, briefly on like social media and whatnot, and these seem like genuine, like down to earth dudes. Like, there's nothing about them that's in any interactions I've ever had with them, including Douglas Ernst, who's writes Soulfinder, that ever seems like I'm the artist and you are just the consumer or whatever, you know. Like, so that genuineness kind of comes through, and you could tell that they are superhero fans. Again, they have the heroism. They have the fun. It's authentic. But it brings me to the fan service. And this is where I find it funny, because as I've read more of the Japanese stuff, fan service is big in, like, the manga stuff. You know, like, you have the pretty girl, and you're going to find ways to, like, oops, something happened.
Oh, my God. I was watching One Piece one day, and there was literally, like, the scene was that the girl was starting to cry over the death of her guardian, and the tear dropped on her cleavage. And it's like, come on, Japan. It, like, so, this morning.
So, obviously, you look at the artwork, right? You've seen some of the panels I've sent you. Obviously, these women are drawn to be attractive. There's a scene where Sylvia, Common Victory, she is doing a runway show, because Carly is a fashion designer. She is a model for Carly's line. She is doing a red, white, and blue, like, you know, star-spangled bikini kind of thing, which I will admit has always been a weakness of mine. We all have our likes. What can I tell you? So she's doing this, and then they get attacked. Now, the thing with Sylvia is she doesn't have superpowers like the other ones. She basically has, like, a suit, like an Iron Man kind of suit, right? And she is on this runway in a bikini, a very small one, and being attacked by these monsters. So she has to run to the hotel to get her suit. And that's enter the fan service. You now have a scene where you put one of the pretty girls, she's running through the streets, and that's what it is. Now, I will say that I've noticed when it comes to a lot of the indie comics, fan service is also popular with indie comics. There is a point in which, in my opinion, that fan service just becomes overly egregious. I'm not going to name any specific books because it's even occurred in ones that I've read that it didn't start out that way. There's a difference between fan service of, like, we're going to draw this character to be attractive. We're going to put them in a appealing outfit, you know, whether it's their actual suit. Like, you could look at any of the Common America girls. Like, all of their suits are obviously drawn that they're supposed to be appealing. Like, you get it. You don't mind it. But then there's always a point in which a line starts to get crossed. In a book in a separate book, and I won't name names as I'm criticizing them on someone else's review, but in their book, and it wasn't like this in the first couple of issues, you can see the lead character's nipple imprints through her suit, if that makes sense. But again, fan service. But if I go back to like issue 1, 2, 3, whatever, it never used to do that. But somewhere along the way, with because they do add-ons on a lot of the crowdfunding sites, right? Like, oh, you do this and you add this on and you get like, you know, we'll do extra artwork and we do like the sexy kind of like pinup style artwork. And eventually it always becomes about that. These guys haven't done that, which I have to give them credit for because they have characters that have enough of a following. You could very easily do that, but they don't. They have their little fan service moment. Sylvia runs through the street in her bikini. She gets her suit on. She shows up and she saves Carly because the monsters are immune to electricity or something like that. I can't remember. But it's not egregious. There's a line in which that sort of thing gets egregious, right? Like, it's one thing if I'm reading, like, a manga that's, like, a harem kind of thing, and it's, like, the one dude, and that's, like, the whole point.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about fan the manga, service, right? Yeah.
It's another when it's, like, it's not about that, but it becomes very distracting to me, and it takes away from it when I'm looking at a superhero that I'm supposed to take seriously, even if she's attractive, even if she is wearing a suit that's meant to look appealing. But I can see the imprints of her nipples through it. And it's like,
I can't take that seriously.
Like, I have to criticize that. But Pellegrini and Lim don't do that. They know how to tread that line of fan service just enough. Just like the same thing with the humor. They don't overdo it on the humor. It's just enough. There's just enough restraint in everything they do. Like I said, you can definitely get their value sets. You can definitely kind of get the perspective on the world, let's say, or on the country that they probably have, but it's not in your face. There's enough restraint. And I really have to praise them for that because it allows the reader to kind of focus on the story and the artwork, which is what you want to focus on with a comic more than anything else. So, like I said, they got a new one that's out on Kickstarter right now. I guess I'm doing free advertising. I'm taking after
I'm telling you, no, we're getting sponsored one day. Somebody's going to look at us and be like, these guys advertise people for free. Like, we got to give them money.
You know, I went ahead and I backed it. Soul Finder is a great book. I haven't done any review on it. I just started reading it fairly recently, trying to play catch up before I do any review of it. You know, volume 5, start of a new arc. It's a good jumping on point. You know, you get it just enough background. You get a lot of flashbacks into various characters' pasts, so you kind of are always, you never feel like you're totally lost, you know? It's not like picking something up and you're knee-deep in what's going on and you have no idea. They do a really good job of keeping things friendly for newer readers, I think. But this is superheroics at its best, in my opinion. So I highly recommend the book. V, I don't know if you have anything to say about the book.
I can't wait to read this shit. This shit sounds dope.
Yeah, it's a great book, and especially if you are whether you are a disillusioned Western comics fan like myself, or if you happen to be a fan of the Japanese comics and anime, I think this is for you. I mean, I've said everything I can say about it probably over the first four volumes, and the quality's been maintained, and that says a lot to me. I think a lot of writers can. You look at like George Martin, right? A lot of writers can come out of the gate with a great idea, maybe. Yeah, but can you maintain that?
Yeah.
And these guys have done it. I can't take it from them. These guys have definitely done it. I look forward to every new issues. I go back and reread the old ones just so I can read everything in sequential order. I've read them all several times. I think they're great. So V, unless you have anything to contribute about a book that you haven't read.
Nah, I just that I can't wait to read it.
All right, well, that's
you made it sound good. So
that's our official review of Common America Volume 5. The story's great, the artwork's great, the humor's great. It's
solid. Gonna read it.
And V's gonna read it, and he'll probably have his own review later on. Can't go wrong with it. So that's it from us. That's the official Americanon review of Common America Volume 5. You guys take it easy. Carry on.